This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 151.
This podcast episode is sponsored by Mainly Marathons, the running company which founded the multi-day, multi-state race concept, now in 40 states. They provide enjoyable races with great camaraderie and nutritious food options. You can run any or all in a series. Just contact Mainly Marathons through their website, mainlymarathons.com, and mention MTA to receive a free marathon or half marathon entry. That's right, folks, a free marathon. Go to mainlymarathons.com and mention MTA. This podcast is also brought to you by Generation UCAN, the revolutionary new way for runners to fuel. UCAN keeps your blood sugar stable and allows your body to burn fat. Generation UCAN, their sugar, and then their science. Use the promo code MTADouble to save 15% off of your order. That's MTADouble. Hello and welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast, where it's all about empowering you to run a marathon and change your life. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, Angie recaps the New Mexico race series, her first double marathon. Plus, she'll explain how to safely run back-to-back marathons without injury or burnout. And if you want to run a faster marathon or half marathon, find out how to train with us and our awesome online community when you visit our website, marathontrainingacademy.com. And just a quick reminder, we are having a couple of marathon meetups coming up. We'll be at the Tupelo Marathon in about 3 weeks from now in Tupelo, Mississippi. And we'll also be at the Des Moines Marathon in Iowa in October and the North Face Endurance Challenge Series race in Wisconsin. And at the end of October, we'll be in Washington, D.C. for the Marine Corps Marathon. And we have set up an event page for some of these meetups. If you go over to Facebook, you can find that. And you can also send an email to me, trevor@marathontrainingacademy.com, and let me know if you're going to be at one of these races. We'd love to meet up with you.
And we have a place on our website under, I believe, the About page,
yes,
which has our upcoming itinerary as well as past races that we've done.
So we got a lot to get into in this episode, Angie. So I know you love to just chit-chat with me on the microphone here. But we're going to go ahead and get right into reading our shout-outs. We have some very inspiring messages that we've received and just like to spread the enthusiasm around here. So, Angie, I'm going to turn it over to you.
This first note comes from JJ. She says, I just ran the Sacramento Golden Arches 5K and got a PR by 3 minutes and the best post-race swag ever. We even got a Happy Meal toy with our medal. I also placed third in my age group. Never thought that was possible.
The Golden Arches 5K, she posted a picture in our group there of that Happy Meal, and it took me way back to my childhood. I was raised on Happy Meals. But congratulations, JJ, on your three-minute PR, and I can tell you're excited about that. Not only the PR, but the Happy Meal.
That's right. Great combination there. This next note comes from Katie, also a member of the Academy. She says, the running with the Bears Marathon in Greenville, California was incredible. I trained hard at 7,500 feet in Mexico. I pushed myself, and I knew what I was capable of for a finishing time. I flew all this way to run with my dad, but he was injured, so that was disappointing. But then something unexpected happened, and my race goals changed. I found myself running next to a 65-year-old chi runner named Frank, who was wearing Huaracha sandals. It was such an inspiration running next to such an athlete. He reminded me of the joy of running, that it is not always to chase the time, but to chase the happiness. That is what running truly is. We are so blessed to be able to run. I'm already signed up for next year. And Katie finished second in her age group in the marathon and just really had a great time. So it was really exciting to see that and see all of her pictures as well.
I remember seeing that picture of her on the podium. So congratulations, Katie, on the age group placement. And it sounds like you absolutely loved the Running with the Bears marathon. So we'll have to check that one out.
This next email says, hi, Angie and Trevor. My name is Josh, and I'm a longtime listener. I first discovered your podcast while training for the Chicago Marathon, my first, and I've been listening ever since. In June, at the Grandma's Marathon in Duluth, I finally qualified for Boston with a time of 3:02:44.
Wow.
After chasing the unicorn for six marathons, I finally got him. The reason that I write to you is that podcasts were a really valuable tool for those of us that prefer training solo. My favorite episodes are, of course, the race recaps. Love the show, keep up the good work, and I look forward to more episodes. Thanks, and again, that's from Josh in Chicago.
Well, thank you for the nice email, Josh. I'm glad you like our recaps. I believe you're going to love this episode as well. And a big congrats to you on qualifying for the Boston Marathon and running an insanely fast time.
That's right. And this final email says, after running years of 5Ks and 10Ks and competing two half marathons, I felt like it was time to take my personal goals to the next level. I told myself at the beginning of the year that I was going to run a marathon, and I refused to be a New Year's resolution setter that wasn't going to follow through. By the end of February, my detailed schedule with mile requirements began. I was doing really well and staying motivated and strong until I hit mile 14 one Sunday, where I didn't hydrate or fuel right and got a severe dehydration headache. This is when I searched for resources to help me on this journey, and I found Marathon Training Academy. From there on, I took you with me weekly on long runs and have learned so much from you and Trevor. I must tell you, I greatly enjoy Trevor's corny jokes. Hey. Glad someone does. Just kidding. He and I have similar senses of humor, and your response, Angie, is typically the one I get from my significant other as well. Basically, my intent with messaging you was to say, I did it. I ran my first marathon on June 6th this year. I was the second place overall female and earned a horseshoe trophy. I'm a cross-country coach and school social worker. I take your knowledge with me and share it with my runners. This marathon changed my life as you said it would. Keep up the good, solid work, and please keep up those audios at races. And that comes from Tracy in Wichita, Kansas.
Tracy, so great to hear about your first marathon. Sounds like it was a tough one, but you pushed through and you dug deep and you finished. And now you have this story, you know, to tell to your students and just to build your confidence for whatever else you want to take on in life, right?
That's right.
Well, we've had quite a few people tell us that our tagline about marathons changing your life is true, and they've seen it come true. So it's not just the marathon, though. It's the training. You know, it's learning to push yourself further than you thought you could ever go, and enduring a lot of pain and suffering with a smile.
Even if you don't have a smile on your face.
That's one thing that the race director at this marathon here we're about to talk about, one thing he said to me is, because I'm like, hey, Angie's my wife, she's out running. He's like, she always has a smile on her face every time she comes through.
It hurts a little bit less if you smile.
So let's go ahead and get into this race recap. Angie's New Mexico Double Marathon Pain Fest right now.
Keep the earth below my feet from my sweat. My blood runs weak. Let me learn from where I have been. Oh, keep my eyes to serve, my hands to learn. Keep my eyes to serve, my hands.
As some of you probably have heard, we had an epic summer. Yes, I did say epic, Angie.
Lord help us.
We traveled 7,000 miles. It was like 1,000 miles a week. What were we thinking? But anyway, we drove from Missouri out to Montana, then down to Colorado, then out to Washington, then back to Montana, back to Colorado, then down to New Mexico, and then home. Angie kept finding marathons to do, like squeezing them in here, ultra there, marathon there. You've already done how many marathons this year? Like 9?
No.
7?
No.
5? I don't know. How many have you done? She doesn't know, folks.
It's pretty bad when you lose track of how many you've done. No, I haven't done that many this year, actually, which is why I'm trying to squeeze them in.
Okay.
I've only done...
Because it was a slower spring.
Yeah, I've only done Boston and then Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And then
Leadville. And then Idaho Falls.
Then the Ultra. And right. Then these two marathons. So I guess if you count all of them, it would be 6. So
anyway, you've been doing a lot more running than I have. But this is a special event because this is the first time that you ran a marathon 2 days in a row.
Exactly.
So tell us what that was like.
Well, I wanted, you know, as you said, trying to squeeze things in. We're so close to New Mexico. Well, you know, close as in a couple thousand miles. And that would be state number 29 for me, which feels like I'm making progress in my 50-state goal. And then the two marathons would be marathons number 35 and 36. And like you said, I'd never done a double marathon before. I've had coaching clients who have done them, so I've written training plans for them. And, you know, they're just becoming more popular. There's several multi-day races. There's, you know, of course, the goofy and dopey ones at Disney. There's a New Year's double down in Texas. There's different trail series that are multi-day events. And, of course, there's stage races. So, you know, right. Lots more people are doing them. So I thought, you know, this would be a good experience, a good test for myself, and I knew it would be good physical and mental preparation for the 50-miler that I'm doing in October. And then I had wanted to do a race by the Mainly Marathon series as well, because I've been hearing a lot about them, have coaching clients who are signed up for their races, and thought, you know, this would be a really cool experience to see what they're all about as well. So yeah. It was just definitely kind of a lot of different factors that came together perfectly, or that we made come together perfectly.
Yeah. So let's talk about the first New Mexico series race that you did. There's actually four in this series. Angie did two of the four. The first one is called the Sugarite State Park Marathon, and we kept pronouncing it Sugarite until we got there and heard how it's supposed to be pronounced. So Sugarite State Park in northern New Mexico. It's on the New Mexico-Colorado border.
Yes, this one was held on Saturday, July 25th. And it was way northern New Mexico, pretty much as far as you could get. And we stayed the night before in Raton, New Mexico, which was about a 20-minute drive to the starting line. So we had to leave the hotel around 5:15 a.m.
Yeah, and speaking of, like, mispronouncing names, Raton, New Mexico, I had no idea what it was like because I'd never been there or even how to say it. I think I got it pretty correct, but I'm sure people show up there and, like, is this Raton? I'm looking for Raton. You're not from around here, are you?
That's right.
I did happen to switch on my digital recorder the night before the race. So here we are in our hotel room with the kids thinking about getting up and taking you to your marathon the next day. So Angie's like 9:30 at night. We're sitting here in our hotel room watching the Housing Channel. So has it even hit you that you're running a marathon tomorrow?
Yeah, I guess it has. I don't know. It's not like a big marathon where you feel a lot of pressure and the logistics hopefully won't be as complicated. So I feel fairly relaxed about it.
Wow, cool. That's the winning attitude right there. You're gonna get at least fourth place, I think.
Such high expectations for me.
Under promise and over deliver. That's what it's about here at MTA Podcast. So what time do we got to get up tomorrow?
The alarm is set for 4:50, I think.
Okay. So we're going to all accompany you out there to the starting line, kids and all. Hey, kids, what do you guys think about getting up tomorrow at 4:50?
Ooh, it's the worst thing ever.
No, it's
seriously,
not. 4:50? No, it's not. Who would you ever? Little... I'm watching Mom running.
You're too optimist over there. He said, tomorrow will be the best day ever.
Good job, Liam. That's the attitude I want to hear. Okay, Angie's marathon morning. We're on a windy road going into this park, state park in New Mexico. Can you just tell us for a minute here, like, exactly what you're getting into today?
Well, from what I know is that we start in the state park and we do a loop of around 3.5 miles. So depending on the distance that you're doing, that depends on the number of loops you do. And I've never been here before. It's dark right now, so it's kind of hard to see exactly what I'm getting into, but it looks very scenic. It's at about 7,500 feet. It's supposed to be some small hills.
What has Liam been telling you this morning?
Liam is telling me that running pumps me up and drinking water pumps me up, so he's got lots of good advice. And there's someone directing us where to park here. How very handy.
Want to welcome you. This is day 3 of the park series. This is beautiful up here in July. We were here last year in May. It didn't look near as nice as it does now, so it's absolutely gorgeous. The course. Before we start, I'm going to walk you all up about 200 yards. We're going to cross into Colorado so that this race will start in Colorado. You'll run down. We go across that dam and about 0.2 miles. Every time you come up here, you grab a rubber band and go. For the marathoners, it's going to be a 12-lap course, which means you get 11 rubber bands and then go out one more time, come in, check in with the timing table, make sure you get your medal. How many are coming back and running tomorrow? Hey, all right.
All right, do your first marathon.
So we're going to go up the road.
What time do you think you'll be done?
Probably give me like 10:30, 4.5 hours.
All right.
Hey, you didn't give me my hug this morning.
Oh, okay. Wish your mom well, guys.
Have a good morning.
Love you. All right, let me hear some good rapping.
Daddy, I'm coming here.
So we left the hotel around 5:15 a.m. and drove about 20 minutes in the dark to the state park. And so they had basically kind of like a big tent covered area. There was a motorhome and several tables that were set up with food, the registration, and packet pickup area. And then there was a rubber band table. More about that later. I know a rubber band table seems kind of weird.
Our kids really liked it.
Yeah. Ooh, free rubber bands.
Rubber band fight. Here we come.
So I got my race packet, which included a bib with my name written on it. And then it had full for the marathon written on it. And then got to pick out a short sleeve cotton tie-dyed race shirt, which actually I'm wearing now to get me in the spirit.
It's nice.
Very nice. Yes. Then we all walked a couple hundred yards up the road into the state of Colorado, and at 6 a.m. the director started the race off, and we were in Colorado for a few brief seconds and then went on into New Mexico.
So what's the point of starting in Colorado that you're like barely in it, like 3 feet?
Well, for the Marathon Maniac Half Fanatic Club, basically a lot of people try to do all 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
So you can count a race as being in a state if it starts there or ends there. So basically you could start this first day either as Colorado or New Mexico, depending on which state you needed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to get all your 50 states and...
You do what you got to do.
Yeah, you do what you got to do. And there were around 66 runners total. There were 26 doing the full marathon, about 32 doing the half, and then 6 doing the 5K. So it was nice. They offered a variety of distances for people who had different, you know, fitness levels, different goals and everything. The course was actually a 2.5 mile out and back. So we had 1 mile of road and then a quarter mile of trail, which was really nicely shaded. And then we turned around and did that again. The elevation was at 7,511 feet.
Which would have seemed tough hadn't you done the Leadville Marathon, which started at like 10,000 feet.
Right. Yeah. You know, I was having a little bit of shortness of breath, but it wasn't like gasping for air like when you're over 10,000 feet. And so we ran over this dam at Lake Mayola. So there's, you know, a few little hills in the course. The mountains, trees, and lake really provided for just a gorgeous course. And we got to watch the sun come up early on.
And you took pictures. Wasn't there a sign that said no running?
There was a sign. There was one of the bathrooms. And I noticed it from a distance. I was thinking, oh, I need to stop and use the bathroom probably one of these laps. So I went down there and it had like a picture of a cougar on it, and it's like, you're in cougar country, no running. So I had to take a picture of that because I just thought it was really amusing.
Yeah,
you know, like, don't run, you may get chased kind of thing. We're here for a marathon, but don't run.
Angie's a rebel.
Yes,
she doesn't care about no cougars.
I'm thinking they were gonna avoid us crazy sweating people. The temperatures felt really good until about halfway through and the sun started getting pretty hot. I think there was a high of about 87 degrees that day. The main aid station was at the starting line and the turnaround point. So after each out and back, then you would run by the main aid station and grab a rubber band from the rubber band table and put it on your wrist. And that indicated how many laps that you'd completed.
So it wasn't chip time, but there was somebody counting laps though, right?
Yes, there was. At the rubber band table, there was someone who was counting. You know, every time you'd come by and grab a rubber band, they marked it down.
So the rubber band was maybe like a second count of sorts, maybe.
Yeah, it kind of helped you keep track, kind of visible proof that you had been by the table and everything. Plus, when you're doing so many loops, you know, in your mind pretty soon you're like, was that number 8 or 9? <You know? laughs> To look down at your wrist and figure it out.
Yeah, how many times did you do that? Like, recount your rubber bands?
Hoping that one more would appear. So for the marathon, we had to do 12 loops. And the volunteers and race workers were all really friendly and supportive. There just weren't many spectators out on the course. There was a few family members of runners, but that was really it. So, you know, when you came to the main aid station, the people were really cheering for you. But out on the course, it was mainly just, you know, me and the other runners.
Good group of people, though. And the organizers, the people from the Mainly Marathon company, are just really down-to-earth friendly people. It's kind of like a family gathering is how it felt, you know, like a barbecue and a race and a
right.
But the boys and I dropped you off, then went back to the hotel room, and then we came back. We were there maybe an hour before you finished and did a little bit of spectating, and I actually had a chance to interview briefly Clint Burleson, the founder and director of the Mainly Marathons company, and he had just finished the marathon. This guy not only puts these marathons on all over the country, but he most of the time runs them.
Right.
So he's quite a runner himself. So let's go ahead and play that for you right now. Okay, we're here with Clint Burleson, the race director at Mainly Marathons. And in addition to organizing a great race, Clint actually ran a full marathon today. And we're just now standing here in the sun waiting for Angie to finish. And Clint, it's pretty amazing that not only do you do these races all over the country, it sounds like, but you typically you run a full marathon yourself, right?
I certainly try, and I'm lucky on some of this because I've got a wonderful crew. And we were a little limited crew here, but normally I've got the equivalent of five or six other race directors here working. So they just tell me, get out of here, I'm just in the way, and they let me go run now.
Yeah.
First couple years wasn't that way.
Well, so for those listeners of ours who don't know anything about Mainly Marathons, can you just tell us the backstory a little bit and how it works?
Sure. We started up about 2.5 years ago, and most of the races we put on are series races, often five marathons in a row in five different states, or seven marathons in a row in seven different states.
What kind of runners are usually attracted to these series?
You know, most of our runners are 50-staters. They're trying to get their half marathon or their marathon in all 50 states. And then there's a small group of runners out there, we call them endurance marathoners, who are going for quantity. And Parvana just left. She's the top female or endurance marathoner in the country. She has about 750 marathons.
Yeah, that's amazing. Angie actually ran. She was running with her on this last lap a little bit and was telling me about her. Well, the race has got a great vibe, and I couldn't help but just admire the branding, you know, with the skeleton runners, and you're going to give somebody an award that kind of looks like a Mayan skull.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about, like, some of the awards that you guys give out.
Well, we're from southern New Mexico, and our first series was the Day of the Dead series, which is a big holiday down there because it's very Hispanic. And we kind of carry that over into a lot of what we do. And those awards for those who come out and run a number of races with us are all Day of the Dead art that we're giving them. So.
That's cool. Love it. Well, I appreciate Clint for putting on such a fun event. And I also want to thank Mainly Marathons for sponsoring this episode. Mainly Marathons puts on marathons, half marathons, and 5Ks all over the United States. And Angie, you can speak to this about their excellent support for runners and food. And what'd you think of all that?
Yeah, they definitely know how to take care of their runners from the fastest to the slowest, and they have no time limits for their courses. And their motto is no runner left behind. They're actually famous for their last place awards. They give out these little cabooses that say the best is last. And that's really, you know, their focus. They don't give out first place awards. They give out this last place caboose.
So if you wanted to just walk this marathon, you know, just start earlier, and they're going to stay out there and support you until you get done.
And they're not only going to be out there, they're going to have all the food and everything out until you finish. And the food and support is more like an ultra marathon, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just gels and sports drink. They have
chips and soda and snacks and baked goods.
Yeah, there was just a huge variety of candy bars and gummy worms, M&Ms, fruit leather, pickles, green olives, watermelon, sandwiches, Oreos, cookies, brownies, chips, you know, just kind of on and on. So, you know, you're going to be well taken care of in the food department. And they also have award-winning medals. For the last 2 years, they're featured in Marathon and Beyond's annual medal competition. So they know that medals are important to most runners and food. And they've been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Runner's World as a running company that puts the runner's interests first.
In fact, if you go to mainlymarathons.com, mention us, mention Trevor and Angie, or mention MTA, and you will receive a free marathon or half marathon entry.
Can't beat that.
I know. So go to mainlymarathons.com and mention MTA.
So since the race took place in a state park, there were also park rangers along the course. In fact, the superintendent of Sugar Eat State Park was running his first marathon there. It was really cool. Before the race, they announced anyone who's running their first full or half. Kind of they pointed him out at that time. One man who was doing his 100th marathon there, he was actually a massage therapist who was doing post-race massages as well. And another lady had done over 700 marathons. And I just thought it was cool that the runners and walkers alike were very supportive of each other during the race.
Okay, you know, wait. Just some people right now are saying, did I hear that correctly? One lady there had done 700. Like, it's just a side note.
Yeah.
How many have you done? 700. Oh, okay.
Well, she's actually like, over 700. I don't remember the exact number.
No, but her name is Parvina, and she actually has her own website and has set some Guinness records before. Very neat lady, because you got to run with her a little ways, didn't you?
I did, yes. And so it was neat to be able to visit with different people. And I just was kind of in the mode of taking it fairly easy, too, because I knew that I had another marathon to do the next day, and my upper left hamstring was really starting to hurt partway through the race. So I just did run-walk intervals, you know, visited with people some. Even so, I ended up finishing as the second-place woman, although my finishing time was a nice pedestrian 4:48. So, and after the race, I actually visited with the first place woman, and she had kind of did the race last minute as well. She was traveling with her family through the area.
Was she doing one the next day too?
No, she wasn't. But she was actually from Georgia. And I said, oh, I did the Chickamauga Marathon in Georgia. She's like, I've done that one like 8 times. She's like, I live near there. So it was kind of funny. You know, it's kind of a small marathon world. Mm-hmm. Really, it's fun to talk to people. And then when you finished, each finisher got to pick a unique glazed clay medal. So you got finished, you got your pick of all these medals. That was really neat. And we'll include a picture on the blog of my...
of all this goodness.
Yes.
So let's go right now to post-race debriefing, and I am asking you how you feel.
Yes. Okay.
Green bucket.
Wow. Pretty cool medals, huh?
I love them. So neat. I'm torn between these two. What do you guys...
I go to the lizard. I think that's more New Mexico right there.
Hi, sweetie. I like really green blue a lot. All right.
Great job.
Thank
you. 4:48:49.
All right. Thank you very much.
I expect better out of you.
Yes, I will. I had that in my mind. I'm going to come in tomorrow, not tomorrow.
Second
so. I don't know. I guess okay. Maybe
from
so.
The one watermelon yep. You cut up, that's all that's left.
How does it feel to be done?
I'm happy.
Pretty hot out here, isn't it?
Whew, I know. The first half of the race was nice. That was watermelon. Could you hold it for me?
Well, Angie, I've noticed that you've taken off your sweaty socks and you're now in the car, finally able to sit down. First of all, congratulations on finishing your New Mexico Marathon. What do you think about getting up tomorrow and doing this all over again?
And to be honest, I can't say I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, but I think it'll be good for building mental toughness and, you know, it's a really beautiful scenery out here, too, and really nice people. So I'm looking forward to getting out here and seeing what I can do tomorrow. I'm sure it'll be a little bit slower, but just something new and exciting.
All right. We'll check back with you tomorrow.
So after the race, I got a quick shower before we had to check out of the hotel. And then we drove to Taos, New Mexico, which was really a beautiful drive. And mm-hmm. We ate at a brewery there. And then we headed back to Eagle Nest, New Mexico, to basically the last hotel room available in town. And along the way, we had to stop at a grocery store for some food. And I ended up running over my foot with the cart. And this it left like this nice gash on the top of my foot, like this bleeding gash.
Yeah.
Is exactly what you want to have the day before another marathon. So by the end of the day, I was really feeling tired and not quite so eager to get up early the next day and run another marathon.
All I can remember about that day is that the drive was beautiful, Taos is really interesting, and it was so hot, and our hotel room didn't have air conditioning.
Yeah, that.
It did cool down at night, though, just like they said it would.
Well, it did cool down at night. Although we had to leave our window open, and we had a neighbor on the second story sit outside half the night and smoked, which wafted into our window.
It's true.
So that was, yes.
Andy's really sensitive to smoke.
I am.
That's why I quit smoking. So, Angie, one of my biggest fears as we go to these marathons is that somehow I will mess up your night of sleep. Either I will or the kids, and you'll be thoroughly tired the day of your marathon.
Well, this time it wasn't your fault. It was the rude person smoking outside our window.
But how did it feel after the first marathon, knowing that tomorrow I'm going to get up and do the whole thing over?
You know, I'm pretty good about blocking unpleasant things out of my mind and not thinking about them until I need to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really feel like I obsessively worry about things. Like if I have to do an interview that I'm nervous about, I can just pretty much put it in the back of my mind.
You're like a guy.
I don't know.
That's what we do. We compartmentalize.
I compartmentalize certain things. But I will say that when the alarm went off at 5 a.m. the next morning, I was honestly not feeling enthused about getting up and running another marathon.
How did your legs feel?
You know, they didn't feel too bad. I was a little bit stiff, you know, kind of like that little bit creaky feeling sometimes that you feel after maybe a tough run. And my feet hurt. Other than that, I had some lovely areas of chafing along my sports bra line and under my arms, which was really bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
So mainly it was just the chafing that was, other than that, I didn't feel too bad, except I did feel a bit nauseated in the morning. So I don't know if it was the elevation or like all the cigarette smoke that had poured in our room that night or something I'd ate the day before, but you know, I wasn't feeling in top form, but not bad.
Is there anything that you did in between these races to kind of recover?
I ate some Cheetos.
That's psychological.
I know. I put compression socks on and wore those for several hours afterward. I try to keep my feet up while we were traveling in the car because it's really not ideal to run a marathon and then have to get in the car and sit a whole bunch. Other than that, you know, I don't really feel like I did anything special. I didn't have time to sit in an ice bath or anything. Plus, I usually have very low motivation to do that anyway.
Me too. Okay, we'll take us to the next marathon race day. Now we're in Eagle Nest, New Mexico, close to Taos in northern New Mexico.
Yes, it was beautiful. It was Sunday, July 26th. Fortunately, it was a quick and easy drive to the starting line at Eagle Nest State Park. And the race started right by the visitor center. So parking was very convenient. All the runners kind of milled around, had some quick race announcements about the course. Pretty much the race got going with an air horn and some cowbells, and we started off. There were a total of 51 runners the second day. There were 15 doing the full, 23 doing the half, and 13 who were doing the 5K. And we saw a lot of the same faces from the day before, but some were doing different distances. So not everyone was as much of a glutton for punishment as I was.
All right, let's go to the starting line of the next day's marathon at Eagle Nest State Park Marathon Morning. All right, Angie, day number two. We're in the car heading there to Eagle Nest Lake State Park. You ready for this or what? How do you feel?
Well, tired at the moment. My feet are sore. I've got some lovely areas of chafing, but yeah, I'm ready to do this.
You're amazing.
I don't know, we were just out here in the dark going, okay, tell me why we're doing this at, what, 8,000 feet in the dark.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Eagle Nest Lake State Park.
Like, really?
In Eagle Nest, New Mexico, and I want to thank the park and the park's people. They have been just extremely obliging and helpful here. And when I come to this town, I am proud I am from New Mexico because we get a bigger turnout of volunteers from here than any place in the country that we go. And we go to 40 states now. And this place is the absolute best 2 years in a row. The course today, it is exactly from where we leave the rubber band table. We're going to go up this road. We go down to the campground. We do a little loop through the campground. And your first loop or two this morning, might have people sleeping down.
Yeah. So,
but after that, after 7 o'clock, go ahead and be rowdy. Okay, from here all the way out and all the way around back is exactly 13.1 miles. How many laps do you half marathoners have to do?
10.
Excellent. You know, you got to get this math going now because after
1.31 miles, not 13.1.
Oh, okay.
I was like,
okay.
13.
All right. Okay, how about you marathoners? You got to do 20 laps. And how we do this is every time you come on in, you get a rubber band, go on out. Make sure you check in with the timing table to get your medal and so that they can record your finish time. Marathoners, 19 laps, come back. After your 19th rubber band, then you go out one more time and come back. I will lead you all out on the bicycle, and then I hope to join you out on the course this morning. Should we get this on the road?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Board. Get set. Go!
Go!
I don't know. She looks kind of stiff.
Keep the earth below my feet from my sweat, my blood runs weak.
So those first few steps of running were kind of like, oh, you know, your body's like, what are you doing to me, kind of thing. And I can't say that my pace was very perky either, but I did get my body going, and it remembered what to do. It just didn't really want to give me much effort. This time we were at 8,200 feet of elevation, so a little bit higher. The course went down a paved road by the lake and around a camping ground loop. You know, the lake was surrounded by mountains. The temps were in the 40s, so it was, you know, really a perfect morning to start running. The sun started to come up. It was really beautiful. And we could actually see a lot of geese and swans on the lake. And they were actually making quite the racket, which was kind of funny because they had told us to do our first few laps quietly because there's people in the campground who are still sleeping. There's this big racket coming from the lake, all these birds. But as the morning wore on, people started to wake up in the campground and lots of people arrived with their boats to enjoy the lake. So there was definitely things to see. However, we had to do 20 loops for the full. So even the beauty got slightly old after a while, especially as it started getting warmer and my body was not feeling very enthused about continuing around the loop. But it was fun to see many of the people from the day before. The people were very friendly and encouraging. And I actually did 3 laps with a lady named Christy from Texas, and she had done 40 half marathons last year for her 40th birthday. So I thought that was really inspiring, and we talked about a bunch of things. And actually, she's now a coaching client of mine, so it was a cool connection to make.
Yeah.
Again, there was one aid station that was at the starting line area, which we looped around each time and had to take another rubber band for each loop to keep track. Obviously, my math skills go downhill as I start getting tired, and it was helpful to have those rubber bands. But it seemed like the rubber bands kept stacking up, but I still had a long way to go. So.
Well, we came back to the race after about 5 hours, and you were nowhere close to being done.
No, I wasn't. I just had no get up and go. I think it was more of a mental game. I just had to keep my protesting body moving forward, and so I just tried to walk up the hills and run the flat and downhill areas and just tried to enjoy the beauty of the day and talking to people and everything. You know, I really wasn't doing it for a fast time. And so I just really had no motivation to run it fast. You're just like...
You never thought, let's hurry up and get this over with?
Not really. I mean, I was, you know, hoping my laps would count down more quickly. But yeah, I just really didn't feel any motivation to run it quickly. And it was interesting. I was talking to some people out there because a lot of the people had done some of the mainly marathons races before. And they have 5-day series, 6-day series, 7-day series. And so there's people who had done, you know, 5 marathons in a row. Mm-hmm. And they said it's really interesting. Like for every day, you add like an hour to your finish time.
I see. So,
you know, it's more about just going the distance and not worrying about your pace. And when I look back at it now, I could have probably done it faster, but I just didn't really care that day.
So let me ask you this. Other than tired legs and really bad chafing, how did your overall energy feel, and how were you fueling for this?
I was using the UCAN again. I used that before the race, and then I supplemented the UCAN with, again, green olives and a little bit of food from the aid station. So I felt
saltiness.
Yeah, saltiness. I really felt good energy-wise. You know, I really feel like, as everyone knows from listening to this podcast, that I can depend on UCAN to just deliver that solid energy. And so it wasn't like a lack of energy necessarily that kept me going slow. It was more of lack of mental motivation. And, you know, my body just kind of felt a little sore and tired.
So did you pretty much do your 2 scoops of UCAN before the race and then take some servings with you also?
Yeah, unfortunately, we really didn't plan for the amount of UCAN we needed for this trip because I was originally just planning on doing 1 marathon. So I had to scrounge up and use your remaining UCAN for my pre-race fuel. And unfortunately, we didn't have any of the UCAN bars with us, which I really love, and would have been perfect. Yeah, I kind of just scrounged up, used the rest that we had, and then supplemented it with food from the aid station. So in retrospect, I would have brought a whole tub of UCAN with us. Future trips, knowing how I roll with spontaneous races, then we'll do that.
We appreciate UCAN sponsoring this episode. If you want to get 15% off your order, use the promo code MTADOUBLE. So go to GenerationUCAN.com, use the promo code MTADOUBLE, because we're talking about a double marathon.
Oh, yeah. It was really fun. 2 MTA listeners, Jody and Glinda, who we had met in St. Louis 4 years previously, came out to cheer me on along with their husbands. Jody and her husband live in the area, and Glinda was visiting, so it was really, really special for them to come to the race and see me, and gave him a sweaty hug. Probably didn't appreciate that. We got a nice picture, and it was really fun to have a little cheering section.
Definitely.
Since you and the boys weren't there as of yet. Yeah, you guys arrived, I think, around mile 23. And it was kind of cute. Two of the boys wanted to do a lap with me. It was actually my youngest two boys. Our oldest does not make any effort to do anything extra physically, usually.
I think you made it about, like, maybe 100 feet and you turn around and came back. Yeah. Forget that.
So that was a pretty slow loop because my youngest is 4 and he was wearing Crocs. Mm-hmm. And he has the heart of a runner, but not quite the legs. But Gavin, our 8-year-old, wanted to accompany me on the final lap. And then he ended up getting rocks in his shoes, and he was, like, breaking down. So I had to stop and wait while he dumped all the rocks out of his shoes. And we walked, and I tried to encourage him to run. So it definitely took my mind off my own discomfort. And I ended up finishing in 5 hours and 53 minutes. So gloriously slow pace again for me. But it was fun. And I was very happy to be done, of course, and gained a lot more respect for people who do back-to-back marathons or even stage races. You know, you just don't have time to recover in between. So it takes a lot out of your body.
So people that have done, like, 50 in a row, like Dean Karnazes.
Oh, my word. Or the Iron Cowboy who just finished 50 Ironman triathlons in 50 days in 50 states.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind still. Really amazing.
Well, let's go right now to my debriefing of Angie after her second marathon. We're in the car. We're heading away from the race. This is what she sounds like. All right. So, Angie, how do you feel after 2 marathons in 2 days?
I feel exhausted. Yeah, it was very challenging. I think it was harder than the 40 miler I did. Just the fact that, you know, you have to get up and on tired legs, you know, achy feet, go out there and do another marathon. You know, it was challenging both physically and mentally for me. But it was in a very beautiful location. The weather stayed fairly cool. And there was, you know, lots of neat people out there. We got to know the people who you saw for 2 days. So, yeah, it was an overall good experience. I can't say that I'll be signing up for another double for quite some time, but I'm glad I did it.
Right on. Well, I'm really proud of you, and it's been fun to watch you do this double and be in such a beautiful place here in New Mexico. So, Angie, in that little soundbite there, you said this double marathon was harder than your 40-miler.
It was. There's something mentally hard about, and I think, knowing you have to do the same thing the next day. I mean, you know, it's just like, wow, okay, another 26.2 miles. There's something about getting it done in one stretch. You know you have, like, a 40-miler, you know you have a long distance to go, but you know if you keep moving forward, it's eventually going to be done in a few hours. So I think that's a special challenge of doing double marathons or back-to-back races.
Let's put some perspective on this here. It was harder than your 40-miler. Was it harder than the Leadville Trail Marathon?
It was harder to breathe up in Leadville, and the terrain, I mean, the trail was a lot more technical, a lot more climbs. I would say Leadville was definitely harder physically, but mentally, the double marathon was harder.
Okay, wow. Was it harder than childbirth?
No. So we got another unique clay medal from this race and some great post-race food. And I was able to do a quick cleanup and clothes change in the bathroom. And then we had to leave to head to Amarillo, Texas, where we were staying at a Drury hotel that night. So it's kind of another run, get in the car, drive for a long time.
Yes.
That was challenging.
But it was worth it because the Drury is like an oasis in the desert.
It is. It's like coming home for us. We're like, ah, the Drury.
Yeah. No cigarette smoke wafting in.
No cigarette smoke. Nice meal and drinks. We know what to expect. Comfortable, clean room. Reliable internet. Everything that the previous hotel didn't have.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. And I was also, the second day, one thing I did right was that I wore different shoes.
Oh, okay.
So that, you know, it didn't put pressure on the same areas in my feet. My feet, I mean, held up pretty good the first day. It wasn't like I had blisters or anything. But just wearing a different pair of shoes, it was more comfortable. And I also wore a different sports bra so that hopefully it wouldn't chafe in the same areas. And I think that was wise, too. Even though I washed out my Marathon Maniac singlet by hand and hung it to dry. So I re-wore that because I knew it would be hot. But
so with the really bad chafing, being out there in the hot sun, what have you done to try to prevent that problem in the future? Because this has kind of been an ongoing thing.
It has. You know, it's funny that some people slap on Body Glide or the equivalent, and they do fine. And I just have a huge problem with with chafing. So I'm still trying different products. I've got a couple more that I'm testing out right now. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I've kind of in a way accepted that it's going to be part of the pain of running long distance for me. I may have permanent scar marks on my back.
No, I think you already do.
I know. So, yeah, you know, obviously I'm still trying to prevent it, but if it happens, it happens.
Small price to pay for the glories of running.
That's right. Just look at all my medals and it's worth it.
So, Angie, having done now the mainly marathons races, would you do them again?
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed just the whole vibe of it. They really take great care of runners and, you know, just put on a really solid race, good support, and, you know, you meet some great people if you go out there. So definitely would recommend it. They also give free pictures as well. So race pick photos, you can go to their website and just download the pictures. So that's really cool.
And don't forget, folks, you can get a free marathon registration if you go to mainlymarathons.com. Go to their contact page and tell them that we sent you. So now we want to answer a question that was sent in by a lady named Nisha. And this is about how to run a back-to-back marathon. Now, she just happened to send this in like not too long ago, and we just worked perfectly for this episode. So thank you, Nisha, for that. She says, "Hi, Angie and Trevor. I've been an avid listener of your podcast from the beginning. My question is about marathon training for back-to-back races. This fall, I'm signed up for 2 half marathons and 3 full marathons, Marine Corps, Vegas, and Dallas. While I typically run 2 marathons every fall, I'm curious to know what you recommend for making my training most effective so I can perform well in October, November, and December. Thank you," and that's from Nisha. So her marathons are not like the day after each other, but they are still consecutive months.
Right, they're spaced about 3 weeks apart, approximately.
Yeah. So it's still a big challenge.
Definitely. And that's a great question, Nisha. I think many people find this to be true because they enjoy doing races and they have this fun and full maybe fall race calendar set up. But many training plans don't address the fact that you'd be doing more than one marathon or more than one race in a season. So it gets challenging to know how to train for this. But it is very possible to train for back-to-back races and still have a great experience. And the first thing I would say is to make sure that you lay a good endurance base of running over the summer. This is going to ensure that as you increase your mileage for the fall marathons, you'll have less chance of injury. So I would say it's not a good idea for a beginning runner to do back-to-back longer race distances. You know, you can get away probably with 5Ks, 10Ks, things like that. But it's important to lay a solid foundation of long distance running before you decide to take on more than one marathon in a short amount of time. Next, train for the courses that you'll be running. You may need to add in things like hill training and do at least a couple of night long runs to prepare for the Vegas Marathon, for instance, which starts in the evening. There's something about running at night that just has a different feel to it and getting your body used to that. So just kind of try to prepare for the races that you'll be doing.
And speaking of running at night, I went on that 16-mile long run the other night, and I wear glasses for those that haven't seen a picture of me, and I don't know if it was like foggy out there or my glasses fogged up. I don't know.
But it's humid.
Yeah, it's humid. I would get my iPod out and like shuffle to like a new podcast or new song, and I would try to keep moving while I was doing that. But the iPod light was so strong that it like...
ruined your night vision?
Yeah, ruined my night vision. I couldn't see anything else. And I could not walk straight looking at that iPod. I was like, pretty soon I would be in the tall weeds, you know?
You're a mess.
I am a mess.
So yeah, it's just a different feel to do long runs at night. And so definitely try to train as specifically as you can for the races that you'll be doing. You'll also want to continue doing some low-impact cross-training to balance and strengthen the body. The third thing you'll want to do is to identify any A races that you want to have. It's unlikely you'll be able to PR at all the events, so having a specific goal for each one can be helpful. For instance, you can use some of the marathons as training runs or the half marathons, maybe do one with friends, or use it as a paced long run to support your training goals. So in other words, you don't want to run all 3 marathons at 100% effort, because that's just the recipe for burnout and injury.
And that's exactly what you have me doing, Angie, for the Tupelo Marathon. Is I actually incorporated that as one of my long runs, training runs, for my Marine Corps Marathon. So instead of like working off 2 marathon training plans, I'm working off the Marine Corps plan and incorporating Tupelo into that.
You're just substituting it for one of your 20-milers.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you wouldn't want to race Tupelo, you know, when your main A race would be Marine Corps, but you can incorporate it if you're careful. Fourth, write out the dates of your races so that you can plan tapering time before each race and also recovery time afterward. My advice would be to peak your training 3 weeks before Marine Corps because that's your first marathon, and then take a good week to recover afterward, at least, and just do short to moderate length easy runs between then and Vegas. Then you'd want to follow a similar scenario between Vegas and Dallas. And like I said, since there aren't many training plans geared toward running multiple races, some people just find that it really helps for their own peace of mind and to keep themselves safe and injury-free to hire a running coach to help them through the process. Finally, you want to be very careful to listen to your body and take care of any issues that you may be having while they're minor. If you're having soreness or discomfort, you know, don't just ignore that and try to plow on. Be very careful that you're dealing with that early on. It may mean that you need an extra rest day to do more stretching. Maybe you need to get a massage, a visit to the chiropractor. Just don't ignore issues until they become something big. Also, train smart by including plenty of easy days in your schedule. You don't want to run every single run at a hard pace, or you're just going to burn yourself out and not perform well in your races. You also want to make sure that you're continuing to cross train. And then also dial in your nutrition by cutting way back on processed sugar and things that are not going to benefit your health at all. And then also get plenty of sleep, which will help make multiple races much more possible and much more pleasant.
All right, so there you go. There's some suggestions for safely and effectively doing back-to-back races. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. If there's anything we can do to help you in your training, please contact us through our website. And when you're there on our website, you can download a free audio gift. It's the story of my first marathon, one of our most downloaded episodes of years gone by. Just want to encourage you to dream big and keep taking action in your health and fitness. Remember, you have what it takes to run a marathon or a double marathon and change your life.